Hello, and welcome to episode 165 of Public Interest Podcast with your host, Jordan Cooper, where we interview politicians, activists, advocates, and others who seek to improve the state of the world. We're here today with Ambassador Carlos Pareja, Peruvian ambassador to the United States since September 8, 2016. Ambassador Pareja is also the former Director General of the Directorate of Africa, the Middle East, and Gulf Countries. He is the former Director General of the Directorate General of America. Pareja is also the former Peruvian ambassador to Chile, Switzerland, and Spain, and is a former Peruvian diplomat in this very embassy of Peru in Washington. Ambassador Pareja was awarded the Grand Cross of the Order of the Sun of Peru and comes from a diplomatic family. Ambassador Pareja, thank you so much for joining us today. How are you?
Fine, thank you.
Excellent. The first question I'd like to pose to you is, what are you currently doing, or what have you ever done to advance the public interest, and why?
Well, as you mentioned, this is my second time in the United States in at the embassy. Mm-hmm. The first time was as political counselor, and I was ambassador. And that has helped me a lot to because I sort of know my way through all the channels of power in Washington. Even though it's not a large city, it is a very complicated city, and you must know your way in the power circles. No, so I am trying to promote, of course, our country. Peru is a country, a democratic country, mm-hmm. a country that respects the human rights and liberty of press, yeah. a country that powerfully meeting its future in economics, in commerce. So that are my tasks.
So, Ambassador Pareja, you have had a great deal of experience, as you mentioned, working as an ambassador for Peru, or working actually with the diplomatic mission of Peru in Washington, D.C. In fact, you've done that under the Ronald Reagan administration, the Barack Obama administration, and now the Donald Trump administration. I was wondering if you could take a moment and speak about the nature of the Peruvian-American relationship and any changes that you've seen develop over the course of these decades with the mission here in Washington, D.C.
Well, I think that the Peru gets along very well with the United States. We have a common interest. First of all, I think the fundamentals of the relationship between the both countries are the respect of democracy, the same goals, mm-hmm. human rights. We are a country that is very well integrated in the region. Mm-hmm. We have finished all our frontier problems with our neighbors, mm-hmm. so that makes us very solid and strong in our geographic position.
Sure.
And we also, we have common grounds in commerce. We have a bilateral trade agreement that mm-hmm. I don't think will suffer any. We won't have any problems with the new administration of Mr. Trump, and we are trying to promote investment, to promote more tourism in from the United States to Peru, and of course to promote friendship, you know, culture and exchange, more exchange of intellectuals of our. From the United States to Peru, from Peru to the United States, to strengthen the basis of our relationship.
Now, you speak about how mm-hmm. Peru is so well integrated into its region and the surrounding countries, but at the same time, isn't it true that Peru today is faced with a major crisis brought upon by climate change that, in fact, only is right now hitting Peru uniquely hard due to the many varied microclimates within Peru that are affected by climate change? Can you take a moment and speak about the particular circumstances that are facing Peruvians today as a result of these effects of climate change, and how those difficulties are affecting your mission here in Washington?
Well, we are, yes, we have a very serious situation now because there's this Niño country, the Niño is like a baby current. It's called a warm current of water that comes into the coasts of Peru, and that produces, the temperature to go very high,
right.
And then many rains. And because the coast of Peru is like a desert, it's a bit desertic, and so it rains a lot in the mountains that surround the coast, and then that produces all kinds of strong floods. And it has been terrible, especially the north part of Peru. You know, we have had till now about 100 people dead. We have had 125,000 victims of the floods. 800,000 people homeless, and 182,000 homes destroyed. Lots of damages in the crops, it is a very, very difficult situation. Peru has a diversity in its geography. You know, we have this, as I was telling you, a desertic coast, and then we have the highlands, and then we have the Amazon region that is very, very large. And this Amazon region is we next to Brazil and to Colombia and Ecuador. We all share this huge Amazon region, and with a lot of biodiversity. So we have to take care of it, you know. And of course, climate changing. Climate changing is affecting the region, so we are Peru has promoted very strongly all the COP. You know, the COP, we had the COP in Peru 2 years ago. Then we were very strong in this. So we hope that the United States has a good reflection on what it's doing, because we believe that. The United States should also accompany all these countries in trying to protect the atmosphere.
So, in considering the role of the United States in helping to alleviate some of the difficulties facing Peru, I'm thinking about a number of things. One, what is the role of the United States in contributing to climate change, which science seems to indicate is driven by carbon emissions? America being a large contributor of carbon emissions in the world, and the current administration actually rolling back some of the initiatives that were begun under the Obama administration in acknowledgement of our contribution to man-made climate change. So on one hand, it seems as though America may be exacerbating the issue, but you know, I'd like to get your read on that. You know, are we doing what's appropriate for climate change? How is that affecting Peru? On the other hand, in terms of foreign aid, it has been this current administration has expressed this intent in rolling back its budget for the State Department. Of course, Congress must approve any budget, but would like to reduce foreign assistance, foreign aid, and diplomatic initiatives to other countries around the world. I wonder if any foreign aid from the United States is being directed in relief work at these, particularly in the north of Peru. And if these future cuts, if they come, will affect Peru at all?
Well, as of the current situation in Peru, we are receiving a lot of assistance from the United States. It's day by day increasing. Now it's approaching the. It's about $800,000. $800,000. We have helicopters from the United States, all kinds of tents and help for the sewer water, and so we are having and also $250,000. For medicines through the Pan American Health Organization, and all sorts of help, and it's increasing. And we have people from the disaster sectors monitoring what is needed over there. And the State Department high official is going to Peru next week. So we are satisfied with the help we are receiving from the United States. Of course, the needs are major. So nothing is enough.
So what do Peruvians need? What do they want? If our listeners were so moved to do something to assist Peruvians, is there any way that listeners could help? Is there anything that the government of the United States can do? What is it that, as ambassador, you would ask of listeners?
Well, we need is pumps to drew the water mm-hmm. out of the you know, the cities are completely flooded. Mm-hmm. We need also there's a electricity cuts are over, so we need that kind of help as well. Mm-hmm. Tents, because as I was telling you, we have 800,000 people, 800,000 people homeless. Mm-hmm. So we need like family tents, you know, mm-hmm. family tents. Lots of water. And also we know the embassy has opened an account that I could give you the number afterwards, so you can read it to your.
So, do you ever approach the United States Congress to ask for appropriations or foreign aid that may actually help Peru, or do you mostly negotiate through the executive branch?
Well, what we do is we approach the Congress uh-huh. in order that the aid can be increased, you know, because the power of the Congress in the United States is very strong on appropriations.
Right.
So we certainly approach them in order to get more aid for instance, for the narco traffic, mm-hmm. And cooperation, mm-hmm. all kinds of assistance, military assistance. And so we make sure that the cooperation not only does not diminish, but that it will increase. So in that sense, we do work with the executive branch and also with Congress. And we are worried in this sense that this administration has, I think that they will cut the budget of the State Department in 37%. That's what they said. Mm-hmm. So we are worried that that will decrease the cooperation, the assistance with Western Hemisphere countries.
So obviously, you have served in Switzerland and Chile and Spain. The United States is not the only nation in the world that is the source of foreign aid.
But it's a major.
It's a major contributor. Should American foreign aid begin to dry up, are you looking elsewhere? Are there other countries that are also contributing to help the relief effort? And do you have any contacts with other embassies in the Washington area about what those nations can do to help Peru?
No, well, yes, we are receiving, for this situation in mm-hmm. particular, we are receiving, we have a major solidarity from countries, not only from the official, from the governments, mm-hmm. but also from the people. And here in the United States, we also have had a lot of contributions to these accounts from the people, mm-hmm. from individuals that want to help. But in the countries that I have been, especially in Spain mm-hmm. and in Switzerland and in the United States, they we have the official cooperation with Peru, and that is very important, you know, because this cooperation goes to the people that need more the aid, and then all this cooperation is very specified, and is already developed. You know? So lots of people depend on that, and I think this cooperation has been very productive, and that should be and a stimulus for the United States and other countries to keep up with our cooperation with other countries.
So on this topic of cooperation, you find that a growing tide of populism is sweeping across the globe. And there was an election where there was a theme, Make America Great Again. Many listeners may be wondering, you know, it sounds good, you know, foreign aid, but gosh, you know, we're struggling in Detroit. We're struggling in Anacostia and Washington, D.C., which is, for our listeners who aren't in D.C., is an indigent area. Right in Baltimore, there were riots 40 miles away, and Americans may say, you know, gosh, we need the funds here. How can you make an argument to this American audience about why foreign aid is in the interest of America? Why isolation and withdrawing from the world would be against America's interest? And why would it be in the interest, you're speaking directly to American listeners, why would it be in their interest to have some of their tax dollars go to alleviate pain and suffering in Peru? What is the case you can make to say, look, helping us out in a time of need, cooperating with us is in America's interest, and is why you should continue to fund the State Department and foreign aid?
I think we can look at it in two ways. First, as it's humanitarian aid, it goes to people that really, really need it. And, mm-hmm. and you don't find them that kind of people that really need that assistance in the United States. You find, of course, people that are in need of assistance in the United States, but not at that quantity like in our country. So that should be taken into account. And the second reason is because all this assistance, you know, from the United States and other developed countries, makes our country grow. It helps in education. It helps in health to the people. So that makes our country grow. And so that increases the middle class in our countries. You know, mm-hmm. the people come from the low economic class to the middle class,
yeah.
and that they gives them more power of consumption. And you know,
are they a market for American exports?
Yeah, of course, it's a good market for American exports, and also it develops the conscience of the people of the importance of maintaining this economic system, you know. Otherwise, there's populism in our countries as well, you know, mm-hmm. and say, well, let's, if we are in so much need, then let's be aggressive and let's be populist, and then that diminishes the power of governments like the Peruvian government that wants to do the correct economic policy, sound policies that will help the growth. So that's both ways to look at it.
So continuing on the topic of trade policy, you have the current administration in the United States having campaigned against the Trans-Pacific Partnership, which mostly affects Eastern Asia more than it would affect Peru, but it's analogous, right? Because Bill Clinton's North American Free Trade Agreement, NAFTA, does affect Peru and is a similar vein of free trade. To what extent is the residual effects of NAFTA benefiting Peru, or is it to the detriment of Peru's interests? And does the administration's stance against the Trans-Pacific Partnership forebode negatively about the future of what free trade might be in the Americas and how that might affect Peru?
NAFTA does not affect Peru because we have a bilateral agreements with the United States, with Mexico, and with Canada. Bilateral all three of them, so our exports can get in those countries with very low taxes. So
protectionist tariffs in the United States against foreign imports.
Well, if they come now.
If they were to come,
that would affect us. But we have the bilateral agreement with the United States, the United States has a strong surplus with Peru.
Mm-hmm.
So we don't fear about that. You know, we export, we don't compete with the United States at all. We export more raw materials, a lot of agricultural materials, a lot of fruit, things that you don't produce here. So I think we can even grow our exports to the United States.
So,
you know, because if the United States, with this administration, the economies go sound and good,
mm-hmm.
then the consumption will be growing as well.
You've, as we've mentioned before, have had many different diplomatic posts around the world, and you have even been in this diplomatic post previously. Always, you are sent to these posts with the sole objective of promoting Peru's best national interests. Can you speak for a moment about any differences that you have had in your primary mission and objective as you sought to advance Peru's mission in the United States versus other countries around the world? To what extent does it differ based on location?
No, well, you know, the relations are different with each country. You know, we have a common ground, as I was telling you, democracy and respect for human rights, For instance, now with the United States, we have a great bond in because we are very much supportive of democracy in Venezuela, that it's taking a great loss today with the government of Maduro. So that is a strong common ground between the United States and Peru. But these things vary, you know, like when I was here 25 years ago, well, we had a populist government in Peru, so at that time relations were politically difficult. Now they are not politically difficult. We have a lot of common ground, but we have to develop this, we have to work on it, you know, because the thing is that the United States, like being the major power in the world, has a lot of demands from all the countries.
Right.
So we have to compete on that, no?
So you mentioned a different government that you previously represented in the 1980s, I believe.
In the second part of, from 1984 to 1990, yes.
So clearly you're a man who has, inevitably you would have personal opinions. You must be an individual who votes in a private ballot box. You must have personal opinions. It's interesting that the diplomatic corps must represent its government regardless of whether your individual personal views align with the government that you represent. Diplomats around the world throughout the ages have always had to face this challenge. I wonder if you can speak with that. You don't necessarily need to reveal your own personal views, but you know, you've served under a government that was different than the government that Peru currently has. So clearly, whatever your opinion, you may have agreed more with one administration or another. Without necessarily revealing which one you agree more with, could you speak about how you reconcile that difference of, I have a view, and yet I must represent the views of the people under the current Peruvian administration?
Well, it's, of course, you have your own opinions, and sometimes it's easier, sometimes it's more difficult. For instance, for me, I feel very supportive of the current government of Peru, because I believe in the president, I believe in his policies, mm-hmm. and I think that the policy of the current government in Peru and the policies of the current government in the United States can get along fine, okay. So we can develop a very good relationship in the end. In the 1980s, well, it was not that way, but we tried to, you know, always to get the best for our country. Mm-hmm. That is what we work for, and that's what we train for, and that's how it should be, you know.
So as we approach the end of this podcast, I would like to ask you a final question, Ambassador Pareja. So you're speaking to the diplomatic corps, the Peruvian Diplomatic Corps and the Peruvian Embassy. All right, it's a private meeting, which our listeners are going to be privy to listening to. And you have a quick moment to make remarks to the current Diplomatic Corps in the Peruvian Embassy in Washington, D.C. And what I'd like you to do is speak to these diplomats who work for you and tell them why it has been so important. Why have you dedicated your life? Why did your father dedicate his life? Why have you spent your career, decades of your life, trying to advance the Peruvian interest for the best, for the betterment of all Peruvian people? Why is it that you've tried to advance the public interest through the diplomatic corps? And then at the end of the day, at the end of your career, what do you hope you will have accomplished through your career in the public service, serving the people of Peru?
Well, what a question. it's hard to answer, because I was as a son of a diplomat I was born born, and my father and my mother, spoke always of public service. It's not easy at all, you know, because you have to move from country to country, and then you have to adjust the families. But then it's like a training, you know. I have trained my children as well. They're not diplomats, but they understand very well what the public service is, and what they even though they are not diplomats and they work privately, they are very fond of the diplomatic career, no? And what you can achieve, because you can always little by little you get a great amount of things for your country, you know, little by little, meeting people and convincing them. And especially in the States, in the United States, there's a lot of ONG, so you can have a, you know, private cooperation with Peru or developing the interests, cultural interests, with the museums here with the Smithsonian. So there's a lot of work you can do, and you know, you have to try to have your goals very clear, you know, 6-7 goals, and then work on them. And of course, you have to have the support of the people that work with you in the embassy, and also from, you know, you have to work your way in Congress with all the staffers, and they have to go to our countries and try to get a personal relation with the country so they can work as well on it. So it's like and also we have to develop tasks that are on the long range. You know, not everything has to be 2-3 years. You can work for 12 years or 10 years or 5 years. It depends. So that's and also we have people that admire a lot our country here in the United States, and they're willing to help us all the time.
And that has been Ambassador Carlos Pareja, Peruvian ambassador to the United States since September 8, 2016, a former director general in the Directorate of Africa, the Middle East, the Gulf countries, and in America, former Peruvian ambassador to Chile, Switzerland, and Spain, former diplomat here in Washington, awardee of the Grand Cross Order of the Sun in Peru, who speaks about having, from a young age, been inculcated in the traditions of public service through the diplomatic corps. Serving Peruvians has become something that's not only second nature to him, but something that he's sought to pass along to the next generation of Parejas and Peruvians, hopefully, as he begins to, he sees diplomatic service as the opportunity to tackle a succession of different crises and challenges where he promotes the Peruvian interest, whether it be by attracting foreign aid to address mudslides and floods, or whether he is able to bring more foreign direct investment in Peru or promote international trade, whether he's creating jobs, alleviating homelessness due to natural disaster. Ambassador Pareja has been around the globe advancing the public interest for Peruvians around the globe. I'd like to remind listeners that should they wish to contribute their time, energy, or treasure to alleviating the current crises facing Peru due to climate change and El Nino, you can go to www.embassyofperu.org. Donors are one click away from helping Peru, and the online donation is secure and safe. Ambassador Pareja, I'd like to thank you so much for joining us today.
No, it was my pleasure. Thank you.
And this has been episode 165 of Public Interest Podcast with your host, Jordan Cooper, where we interview politicians, activists, advocates, and others who seek to improve the state of the world. I'll remind you to subscribe at publicinterestpodcast.com. Listen on iTunes, Stitcher, CastBox, SoundCloud, Blueberry, Player FM, Facebook, Twitter, LinkedIn. And should you wish to react to Ambassador Pareja, if you have something to say, if he inspired you, if you have a comment, please leave a message at 240-630-0380, and that message may be played on the website. Thank you so much for joining us, and we'll talk to you next time.